Every year at Christmas, the rector of a large downtown church received a bottle of his favorite peach brandy from a parishioner. This had gone on for years. One year, the rector's generous friend asked him to publicly thank him from the pulpit for giving him the peach brandy. The rector reluctantly agreed. The next Sunday, just about to give his sermon, the rector saw his friend sitting in the front pew waiting. What was he going to say? Admit that he liked to drink? Before we begin, he said, I have an announcement. I would like to thank my friend Joe for his kind gift of peaches and the spirit in which they were given. I laughed for 3 minutes when I saw that. Oh. Well, it's turkey week again. Kind of the time of year when good smells are permeating from kitchens all over town. And it's time when our belts have to be loosened another notch. And I'm ready. I got another notch. It's also a time while we are carving the turkey to count our blessings. Have you noticed, by the way, that every major holiday we seem to celebrate it by eating? You know, we eat at Christmas, we eat at Easter, we eat at 4th of July, we eat at Thanksgiving. You know, there's probably some others I slipped and forgotten there. We seem to always eat. So at least, if nothing else, we can be thankful for eating good this year, right? Most of us can probably give thanks for a roof over our head, clothes on our back, a place to sleep. Many of us could be thankful for money in the bank, or for good health, or for family and friends. Since we're living in this country, we can be thankful for the freedom to practice our religion without persecution or torture. In other words, we can all jot down a pretty long list of things that we can be thankful for. Let me just say that there's nothing wrong with being thankful for these things. In fact, we should be. They're all good blessings. But think about this. If we should continue in that logic, then it means that if we do not have things, we cannot give thanks. In other words, we can't count our blessings. We can only count our blessings if we have stuff to count. We run that danger. You know, when we start making our list, we start writing down the things that that we can see, right? We think about, you know, our children and our families and our health and wealth and the things we have and all that, and we keep writing all that down, our house, our clothes. And those are great lists, but we run the risk of only writing down the things that we can see. However, in our scripture today, our good old friend, the Apostle Paul, encourages us to give thanks for nothing. In this scripture, he offers us the example of his own thanksgiving for nothing at all. Well, at least not anything physical, material, or tangible. Instead, Paul gives a continued thanks for things which are not things, like faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, love toward the saints, a spirit of wisdom and revelation, the riches of God's glorious inheritance, and the immeasurable greatness of God's power. None of these blessings, you see, can be seen. You can't hang them on the wall in your living room or dining room and display them. You can't park them in your driveway. You can't keep them for safekeeping in a lockbox at the bank. You can't touch them or smell them or taste them. And yet, they are the very greatest gifts we could ever receive and therefore should be thankful for them. By the way, to give thanks for the non-tangibles or in the vortex of violence and despair and suffering, is what Scripture calls praise. When we give thanks for things that we can't see, for those things we can't see, it's called praise. And praise is the recognition that it's all about God and not about us. Let me say that again. It's all about God and not about us. That's what praise is about. In a classic book called The Little Prince, many of you may have read this, the fox character is saying goodbye to the little prince. And when he leaves, he says, "And now here's my secret and very simple secret. It's only with the heart that that you can see rightly. What is essential is invisible to the eye. What is essential is invisible to the eye, the little prince repeats, so that he won't forget it. The fox's insight is right in line with the Apostle Paul, who wrote in 2 Corinthians 4:18, "We look not at what can be seen, but what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal." It is the unseen that is eternal. What is essential is invisible to the eye. It is this approach that I would say that runs against conventional wisdom. And it refuses to fall in step with the army of shoppers who will bombard the malls this coming Friday to start their Christmas buying binge. By the way, did you know that the retailers call this coming Friday, the day of great shopping, Black Friday? Now, that's not because it's a bad thing. It's because that's the day when they hope to get all the red in their books turned to black. You see, they know what they're doing. They got this plan. In my mind, they really ought to call it Green Friday for the color of money. Anyways, in our scripture today, Paul doesn't give thanks for gold jewelry, game cubes, leather jackets, or DVDs. He refuses to focus his gaze on the things he can see because he knows that these things are all temporary. And we should know that too. Everything that we have that we can put our hands on that's physical, that's tangible in this world, is all temporary. What's the old saying? You can't take it with you. Right? Instead, he looks at the essential and eternal things that are invisible to the eye. When Paul counts his blessings, he lists absolutely nothing you can buy and nothing you can own. Just faith, love, a spirit of wisdom, God's inheritance, and God's awesome power. You say, okay, Pastor, let's break this down a little bit. Okay. Well, Paul first gives thanks for faith and love. He says, "I have heard your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints," he reports. "And for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you." Paul knows that the sign of true success is not a Lexus in the driveway, or a beach house on the Gulf, or a job with a six-figure salary. Instead, success is being a person who trusts Christ completely. Success is about living vertically with God and horizontally with your neighbors. Paul also gives thanks for a spirit of wisdom and revelation, which he prays will come out of our ever-expanding relationship with God through Christ. You see, the more and more that we spend time with God in prayer and Christ in prayer, the more and more that's revealed to us. And this is Paul's hope for them and for us, that the more time we spend with God and the more time we spend in prayer with Christ, the more that will be revealed to us, the more wisdom, the more experience. The spirit of wisdom opens our eyes to what God is planning for us, and it helps us to see that there's nothing more richer or more valuable than a life in communion with God, both today and in the day to come. It is with this spirit of wisdom and revelation that we can finally grasp the riches of God. It's a heavenly inheritance, far more valuable than stocks or bonds or savings accounts or real estates. The final visible item that Paul wants us to appreciate today is the immeasurable greatness of God's power. This is my favorite. A power that has raised Jesus Christ from the dead and seated him in the heavenly places. This power puts Jesus in a place of ultimate authority. Far above every earthly ruler, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. Amazing. He does this so that everything on earth is now under the soles of his sandals. In short, Jesus rules. Let me hear you say that. Jesus rules.
Jesus rules.
Okay, you got it. You know, the best part is about all of this is God's amazing power is at work in those of us, that's you and I, who believe. And this power is experienced as we take part in the life of the body of Christ. This body that Christ is the head of is the church. And who is the church? We are. And so when we operate as the church, we operate as the full expression of Christ. Now that might scare some people. But if Christ is the head and we're the body, then we're part of Christ. And we operate as the full expression of Christ. We are the ones that go out and people see us, see Christ through us. That's the way it's supposed to be. And Christ, remember, has the full power and dominion over everything. So when we operate as the full expression of Christ, we operate with that power and dominion. That's an amazing gift, folks. That's an amazing thing to be thankful for. So it really doesn't matter how much wealth or physical power or prestige or personnel or inventory or square footage we control in this world, because the greatest influence comes through our work as disciples in Christ. The greatest impact that we can make in this world is as disciples of Christ. And that's not only true in the Christian realm, but also in the secular world. It doesn't matter what our social status is, we can make a much larger impact in this world as disciples of Christ than we can doing anything else. And Christ gives us the gift of being able to do that. So, As followers of Jesus, that we experience the divine life and power of God that fills all things. It is as followers of Jesus that we are able to endure incredible hardship and overcome enormous personal obstacles. It is as followers of Jesus that we are able to share the love and grace and hope and peace and forgiveness of our Lord. It is as followers of Jesus that we are able to step out in mission and share the gospel in both our words and our actions. Now, again, none of these things are material or tangible. None of these things are things that we can grasp with our hands and hold. None of these things can we really see with our eyes or smell. It's things that we have to see with our heart. But whether we are rich or poor, homeowners or homeless, working or unemployed, we have access to an amazing set of essential, eternal, unseen treasures. Let me say that again. We have access to an amazing set of essential, eternal, unseen treasures. All the things we just talked about. The power of God, the wisdom, the ability to go out and witness to people, the ability to make a great impact in this world as a disciple of Christ. All these things, we may not be able to see them physically, but these are all the greatest gifts that God could ever give us through Christ. And He has. So really, when we think about it, as Christians, we can honestly say to God, thanks, everything. Only for our list of physical and material things that we see and have. Also our list of the unseen things. Mighty gifts and graces and power. Work of the Lord Jesus Christ, our God. So I encourage you, when you spend time with your families this week and maybe on Thanksgiving Day decide to sit down in a little prayer and thank God for all those things, remember both lists. Thank God for everything.